The Bible is filled with contradictions and seeming paradoxes, but sometimes the truth lies precisely in those contradictions. And we hear several of those in the readings today. This great throng of people wearing white robes, they have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. How is that possible? You don't wash things in blood and they become red. The Lamb is also the shepherd. How does that make sense? Dying is rising. You know, we talk about this often here. In the Trinity, the complete self-offering is given by each of the three persons and receiving that back from the other two simultaneously. There is no taking in the Trinity. There's only giving and receiving. That the reality that has existed for all eternity is the gift and the reception of the gift that happens simultaneously. Jesus, in his death and resurrection, shows us that in human form, that dying is rising, that the complete self-offering that he gives on the cross is given back to him in his resurrection. This is true for all reality, that everything is created from God, and everything images God in some way or another. And so this dying and rising pattern that we see in existence is just the truth. And we commemorate that every time we sign ourselves in the baptismal font. We're remembering that dying is rising, and that my willingness to lay down my life will be given back to me. And the Eucharist celebrates the same thing. We memorialize here the death and resurrection of Christ, that great event that happened 2,000 years ago, but that is still evident, true, and present today. One of the great mysteries that we celebrate in our Christian faith is the timelessness of all reality, that everything comes from God who is infinite, and everything participates in some way in the infinity of God. And so even though the Last Supper that we commemorate here this morning happened 2,000 years ago, it's still present now. And even though we're going to be communing with God, eating and drinking of the heavenly banquet of the future, it's here now. That our Christian lives are not just locked into what we see and hear in the present moment. It's somehow tied into the great mystery of all reality, which all participates in God. We call this the Paschal mystery, the dying and rising. By mystery, the Bible doesn't mean things that are impossible to understand. Sometimes we make that mistake. We think, well, mystery means I can never understand it. What mystery means in the biblical sense is that this is so filled with meaning, there's so much truth here that we can't wrap our minds completely around it. We can only immerse ourselves in it. Infinity is something that we'll never get completely around. But for all eternity, we're going to be involving ourselves in that mystery. And so we see in that story from the Acts of the Apostles that Paul and Barnabas, they're in Antioch and Pisidia, and they preach the gospel to the Gentiles, and there's great rejoicing in that city. But certain jealous Jews stir up the leaders in the community, and they expel them from their town. And so it's failure. To get run out of town on a rail is failure. And yet it says they rejoiced and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Are we able to rejoice in our losses and our failures, in the unfairness that life sometimes throws at us? Can we see that bigger picture of reality? Can we immerse ourselves in the mystery of the timelessness of God? Can we imagine that somehow, even in our suffering, in our short life here now, we are participating in God? St. Paul says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And that reading from Revelation suggests that those who wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb, which means they took on suffering, they took on his death, they participated in his death and offered themselves, that the self-offering of Christ is not limited to Jesus alone, but it's part of his body, which is us, that we participate in that, that we become a living sacrifice to God, pleasing to the Father. The greatest contradiction of all, maybe, is the Father and I are one. That Jesus, in his humanity, is still one with the Father. Or maybe an even deeper mystery is the Trinity itself, that there are three distinct persons, and yet they are so united that they are one. We are all distinct from Christ and from the Father, and yet we are one with them. To see us is to see Christ. We're all distinct from one another. In fact, diversity is the name of the game. You know, in all of creation, in all these billions of years, the variety, even on this small little speck of a planet we live on, we can't even count the variety of species that exist. And think about the cosmos. The variety is just seemingly endless. And yet, in that reading from Revelation, it suggests that all these people from different races and languages and tongues will join and become one. Not that they will lose their distinction. You know, men and women are different from each other, but they're one. Different races and different language groups and different cultures, they're distinct from one another, and yet they're one. Diversity and unity is beauty itself. It's truth itself. This is all a mystery that we're never going to completely wrap our minds around. And yet, we are invited to participate in it, to immerse ourselves in it, and let it wash over us and be the salvation that we long for.